All right. Thank you very much. Boy, Brenda, so sorry that happened to you, but that was really interesting. But thank you for introducing the Horticulture Innovation Lab. I'm actually going to talk about why horticulture is important for these international activities, particularly related to development and nutrition security as well. So nutrition security is important not only in developing countries, but in the United States as well. I was shocked to see this data at the dietary deficiencies in the United States. 73% of U.S. individuals over 2 years old are deficient in zinc. Wow. 65% deficient in calcium, and on the list goes. And then the percentage of households who are experiencing food hardship. There's a lot of work that needs to be done in food and nutrition security in the United States. If you look globally at nutrition indicators, this report from 2016 shows that for a variety of indicators, we have made little to no progress. Any bar that's in red means little to no progress, and the numbers in the bars, which you might not be able to read, are the numbers of countries. So we're looking at things, in particular, things like anemia in women, overweight adults, obesity in adults, diabetes. Close to 200 countries that made little to no progress in those areas. Even things like wasting of children under five, still 63 countries have made no progress. So globally, we have a long way to go. We have been making progress, but we still have a lot of work to do in terms of feeding the planet with good, nutritious foods. And that's where horticulture comes in. We're all involved in horticulture in one way or another, and I'm so proud to be part of the horticulture sector because horticultural crops have a lot to offer. This is showing how green, yellow, red, blue, all the different colors of fruits and vegetables provide different nutrients that are important for our diets. And, of course, you know, there's lots of campaigns in the U.S. to try to help us to understand that we should eat as much as possible. But if you look at fruit and vegetable consumption, it has been fairly well related to a number of important disease factors. One is cardiovascular disease. So this graph here is showing that as the number of grams per day of fruits and vegetables increases, the risk of cardiovascular disease decreases. And that has been pretty well documented. And so there is this inverse relationship, and this is from a meta-analysis that has provided some pretty strong evidence. Other studies actually have shown that you get much better nutritional benefits from eating whole fruits and vegetables instead of eating a supplement that has particular nutrients in it. So that has also been pretty well documented. But if you look worldwide, this is fruit and vegetable consumption, and you can just focus on the blue bars if you like. That's total between fruits and vegetables. The yellow line is the recommended 146 kilograms per person per year that FAO puts out there. And this is a range of countries across the bottom, and you can see there are few that meet the minimum, but most come fall far short in terms of meeting the recommended levels of consumption. That's true in the United States as well. Here we can see the dietary guidelines with the black line running across the top of the graph. And we do a good job of meeting those recommendations when it comes to our protein, our meat and eggs and nuts. And also for grains, we've now reached that level. But for vegetables and fruit, and also for dairy, we do not meet the recommended levels. So MyPlate is the new USDA recommendation, and we should be eating half our plates with fruits and vegetables. The other half can include our protein and grains. So that's the recommended level. And then on the right, this is what most people report that they eat. And my guess is they probably report a little bit better than what they actually eat. And even still, we're falling short. We're not eating enough fruits and vegetables, and we're eating more protein and grains than we need. So, as I said before, horticulture has a lot to offer, and I think we need to We need to promote horticulture as a means of helping to address nutrition security across the globe. One of the challenges is that we are not currently growing enough fruits and vegetables to fill this need. If every person ate the recommended levels, we wouldn't have enough. On the left here is what we should be eating according to Harvard's Healthy Eating Plate model. You can see it's somewhat similar to USDA's My Plate, with fruits and vegetables making up half the plate. On the right is what we're actually producing. So you can see that almost half of what we're producing is cereals. And fruits and vegetables are only 11%, and they should be 50%. So we need to increase production, assuming we can increase consumption. So if we think about production in the United States, there are a number of changes that are happening. One thing is that we definitely have less and less land to grow agricultural products. And if we need to produce that many more fruits and vegetables, it's going to take some space potentially. Now, there is this push towards local production, which, you know, can help to expand the land that's used for fruit and vegetable production, maybe by using greenhouses or urban horticulture, maybe interior vertical farming kind of systems. But, you know, are those the solution? The other dynamic that's going on is there's a lot more interest in organic production and organic foods, but the yields there tend to be lower. So that's taken us in the wrong direction in terms of having more food to eat. And then, of course, the sustainability of production practices for fruits and vegetables has been in some ways called into question because they require a lot of water and a lot of fertilizer and sometimes pesticides. So how do we bring all of this together? So protected culture and interior landscaping or vertical farming is certainly a hot trend. There's some companies here at the conference this year. I'm sure there's some presentations. Is this going to be affordable for a wide range of fruits and vegetables? Can it increase the availability, and can they still be affordable to most people? I think it's still a question we need to answer. In many emerging economies, we're looking at simpler protected culture, things like nets to cover the rows, or simple screen houses, or low-cost plastic greenhouses to help protect from heavy rain, keep out insect pests, reduce the need for pesticides, and overall improve the productivity and yield for farmers. The Horticulture Innovation Lab has been supporting some of this work in other parts of the world. One of the other big challenges to production, especially in emerging economies, is water or the availability of water. And many growers don't have the irrigation available, so off-season production is very challenging. So we've been looking at things like drip irrigation and also conservation ag practices to reduce the need for water, but also make it easier to provide water in a consistent manner so that yields are higher and quality is good. You know, pests and disease are consistent problems, and in addition to the net houses that we've looked at, we've also been exploring the use of grafting for vegetables so you can take advantage of the disease resistance of the roots as well as the top of the plant, providing the disease resistance but also the quality characteristics that you want. And, of course, biotechnology has a lot to offer as well. I think it's a tool that we need to have access to and make use of those tools to help reduce the needs for lots of pesticide sprays and other expensive practices. So a good example is eggplant in Bangladesh, where a BT gene was inserted to help control fruit borer. Farmers used to provide spray pesticides nearly on a daily basis, 30 to 50 sprays in a 7-day season to try to control this pest. This genetically engineered eggplant either eliminates or dramatically reduces the need for this pesticide application. Another challenge across the globe regardless of where you are, is post-harvest losses. So if we want to increase the consumption of fruits and vegetables, we need to make more available. And if we're wasting 30% or 40%, then that's less that's being eaten. And this wastage can happen both here in the United States. There it's primarily in our refrigerators at home or at food service, but also in emerging economies across the globe where post-harvest handling practices tend to be very rudimentary and result in a lot of physical damage and a lot of loss. So we have poor packaging, we have exposure to high temperatures, rough handling from really big containers or product being crushed inside the container. Just about 10 days ago, I was in Egypt and saw some of the packaging they're using at the wholesale market. So they still have the bamboo crates that actually this picture here came from probably 30 years ago. They're still using those bamboo crates, which are actually pretty sturdy and, you know, provide reasonable protection so long as they're not overfilled. But they're also now moving to the plastic crates and had a great system for renting these out to the farmers and also the buyers so that they could transport their products at the market. Thank you. So the final thing I wanted to talk about is the fact that we really, you know, how can we try to get people to eat more fruits and vegetables? I mentioned people aren't eating enough. Well, here's the competition, right? All these tasty snacks that are constantly available. Even here in this school where they have all the fruit and whatever available for children, right next to it they have all the chips, they have beautiful advertising. So how can we compete with that? Well, I was happy to see that there are some advertisements starting to pop up for healthy foods. I love this one, what shape do you want to be in? I know I'd much rather be the banana than the donut. You know, maybe we can come up with some cool ads for fruits and vegetables like, you know, oh, snap, or broccoli, 43% less pretentious than kale. Figure out some ways to try to make fruits and vegetables fun and something you want to eat. In Cambodia, one of our projects had instituted a nice marketing campaign where they had this beautiful card and they were going to neighborhoods and selling the vegetables and marketing them as a safe product that had been produced. In this country, there are some things happening. Did you know that June 17th was National Eat Your Vegetables Day? Did anybody know that? Yeah, it's a great campaign, but nobody knows about it. We need to do more. I want to just bring your attention to a white paper that was written by the Horticulture Innovation Lab and associates about what we need to do to increase productivity and availability and affordability of fruits and vegetables for nutrition security. So you can download that from our website for free. Thank you very much. And if there's time, I'm happy to take some questions.